When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everybody and welcome to Anfield, where Liverpool have just beaten Brighton and Hove Albion to go top of the Premier League table. This is the post-match podcast with me, Theo Squires. Joining me today, as always, it's only Matt Addison. Now, before we start, we have to have a quick word for our sponsors, NordVPN. They are brilliant for us here because we've had a little bit of technical difficulties before going on air, connection playing up and whatnot. So once again, they've come to the rescue and bailed us out. So hopefully you can hear us. Hopefully you can see the picture nice and clear. They've also helped out with doing the Facebook Lives that you might be seeing on our social pages, where we're showing you Klopp celebrations after the game and the players warming up. So thanks again to the sponsors. Reminder, we are also live on Facebook and on YouTube, so get your comments in. I appreciate that the Man City Arsenal game kicks off in 10 minutes, so your attention could soon be elsewhere. But we'll have a nice little natter about Liverpool before that game kicks off, won't we? And Matt, where to start? Liverpool, they had to make hard work for it, but they got the job done. You're wondering where the goal was going to come on. They were knocking on the door, and it's another case of Liverpool grind it out in the end.
Yeah, Liverpool coming from behind again, which we've seen a few times this season. I think they were the deserved winners across the course of it. I think they deserve a lot of credit for the patience and the build-up. The winning goal, I think, is a classic example of that, really. It's a couple of really good passes, a cool, calm finish. It would have been easy, I think, to get drawn into a bit of a basketball match, and we have seen that with Brighton in the past here. I think it was Roberto De Zerbi's first game, wasn't it, where he came here and it was three each. So it could have easily been that. It wasn't. I think Liverpool were very sensible, kept the patient play. There was a few things that the referee probably didn't help in terms of the frustrations. That there were moments where the crowd were a little bit edgy, and obviously at the end when it's only one goal in it, it was a little bit nervy. But I think that was a really, really solid performance from Liverpool. There was a couple of outstanding players. They obviously didn't start in the way that they would have wanted to, but Danny Welbeck doesn't score a goal like that every week. He does seem to when he comes to Anfield, but you know, generally speaking. But yeah, I think it was a really good performance, and it just sets up the game that comes at half past, you know, Man City against Arsenal. The rest of this season, the last nine games now are huge, and Liverpool have to keep winning. They have to keep doing this, but you know, you look at the fixtures that they've got left, there are some tricky games, but I think Brighton is right up there. When they play like they do today, I thought Brighton were really, really good, but Liverpool just, in the end, you know, a level above and showed that class.
I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I've got the energy left to do that for another nine games. We've had it a few games in recent weeks where Liverpool have had to stumble over the line, looking in control, but you just want them to absolutely annihilate a team, and we've not seen that for a while. As you've said, it wasn't the ideal start. Danny Welbeck put Brighton in front after, I think, only 2 minutes, wasn't it? It was something ridiculous like that. We did have a quick look at Liverpool's record in 2024. I think they've only led twice at Anfield from the start without falling behind in 2024. And that was Diogo Jota scoring both times against Burnley and Chelsea, maybe? I think it was Chelsea. But yeah, it's a recurring problem for Liverpool that they do seem to fall behind early a lot. They do start slowly, but time and time again, they do come back. They do find a way to get the points. 9 times out of 10, they find a way to get all 3 points. But is it a concern? Does their luck run out, or is this the stuff of champions?
I mean, it's not quite an overperformance in the same way that we saw Manchester United against Brentford, for example. They've done it plenty of times. I think this is certainly more sustainable than a lot of the Premier League teams that just have little runs here and there. I think when you've got so much attacking quality, you know, Mohamed Salah has missed a large part of 2024 so far, but he's now back. Diogo Jota is probably only a couple of weeks away from being back as well. There's goals in this Liverpool team. Whoever you come up against, you always fancy them to score at least once. Obviously, you'd like to keep a clean sheet and make it that little bit easier for yourself. But I do really think that Liverpool will fancy themselves in every single one of these games. And again, you can sound a little bit hypocritical, because I think we've all probably watched United in recent weeks and said, well, you know, they're riding their luck a little bit. Anybody who watched them against Brentford last night will probably have an opinion of how lucky they got on that occasion. So it's maybe a little bit hypocritical to a certain extent, but I think it does kind of play into the mindset of the opponents as well. I think if Liverpool do go a goal down in the next couple of matches, there is a bit of a precedent there for them coming back and being able to cope with this. So look, the longer the season goes on, the more the pressure to do that will continue to ramp up. It is the business end of the season now. The March international break is gone. The time for any slip-ups just simply isn't there. But Liverpool have got a bit of a lead. They, you know, we know historically what they're like when they've got a bit of momentum behind them. They haven't always, when they've been going head-to-head with Manchester City, had that lead to hold on to. It's kind of been hoping that the City will drop points. At least this time around, it is a case of do your own job and Liverpool will go there and win. And I think it's the perfect position that you almost dreamt about at the start of the season. So to say it in any other way now, I think would just be hypocritical in itself. So it's one of those, really. I think Liverpool will keep going. I don't see a scenario where Liverpool don't continue to create chances. The quality of forwards that they've got, you'd always fancy them to win any game. So it's not a worry for me until it's a worry. How quickly that will happen, who knows? But you know, 9 games left. I think you've really got to fancy Liverpool to continue to string these results together.
There's a couple of individual performances I do want to pick out. I'm going to start with the match winner, Mohamed Salah. Like, we know he's not gone away with Egypt for the international break. He's come back from that hamstring injury a few weeks ago. And he looks a bit rusty at times. There are a couple of shots where he's not hit it quite cleanly. It's gone straight at the keeper. And you're feeling for most of that game, it's not going to be his day. But then he's the one who finds the space in the box. He rolls into the corner. So cool. So composed there. Time and time again, he's Liverpool's hero. And the fact that it's only his second start at Anfield in the Premier League this calendar year is ridiculous. Like, where would they be if they'd had him fit for an entire season? No international duty, but he's back. And that's perfect timing with this run in now.
Yeah, and there's others going to be back as well. We didn't see a huge amount of Ryan Gravenberch, but he's back. Ibrahima Konate wasn't able to start, but he was on the bench, and I think we're going to see him. It suddenly feels now at the perfect time that Liverpool have got a few options in a few different areas. I mean, I thought Jarrell Kwanzaa was excellent. You know, I don't think any of us have got any worries now when you see him on the team sheet. And Konate, we know the injury record that he's got and how Liverpool have got to be, you know, particularly careful with him. But I think in all areas now, whether it's, you know, Salah coming back, whether it's, you know, Szoboszlai now is back into full fitness and full sharpness, although he was really good, obviously plays a huge part in the winning goal with the pass into McAllister. I think there's just players all over the pitch really now. There's a level of depth there. Liverpool will obviously hope that Andy Robertson can come back as quickly as possible, but again, Joe Gomez was pretty good there today. It wasn't his best performance in the world, but you know, it was a solid enough showing defensively, I think, and did a decent enough job going forward as well. So it's not just Salah is back. It's not just one or two things. I think collectively it feels like, you know, things can change very quickly, of course, but it feels like Liverpool for the last stretch of the season should have a few different options. And I think for all of those players, they're all kind of in rhythm now. You think of Jarrell Kwanzaa, he's played enough football. Kelleher certainly. There was a really good save where he got down, you know, yeah, to his left, I think it was, where he pushes it around the post. There's players that you would typically think of as being fringe players that are now just fully in rhythm and fully ready to step in. So there will be a couple of injuries, of course, there will. It's inevitable between now and the end of this season. But I think Liverpool are in a position where you can trust whoever it is to come in. It wouldn't be a major concern, I don't think, for me at this point.
One of those players who was on the fringes, he's come in and he's on the screen now. It's Connor Bradley. If you're watching live, you can see what it says. Bradley is a beast. He yields to no one. If you're only listening back to this later, I apologise, but you're going to know what's happened in the Man City-Arsenal game, so you'll probably be a little less nervous than us. But yeah, Bradley, it was another really impressive performance from him. It'd been easy for his head to drop a little bit because he did find Edringa getting in behind him a few times early on. But he just got better and better as the game wore on. He was getting forward so well. He's so quick. And I know Trent was doing Sky duties, wasn't he, before the game? And he said he's not far off coming back. But that's going to be a hell of a dilemma for Jurgen Klopp when he's back. Like, who starts at right back? And it's not as though you can just put Trent in midfield now, because that trio of Endo, Szoboszlai and McAllister is superb. But yeah, a word on Bradley there. He was great again, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was excellent. Again, I would echo your thoughts, really, in terms of he started slowly. I think Brighton probably targeted the space in behind him and tried to get the ball down there. But probably from 10 or 15 minutes at the absolute maximum onwards, he didn't really, you know, give anything away. He was snapping into tackles. I think Adingra is a really, really good player. He's really, really fast as well. I think, you know, for Bradley and for Kwanzaa to have the speed and the kind of foresight in certain moments to step across and get that timing right, I think was really impressive from both of them as well. But I suppose you'd put him in the same category as Kwanzaa, wouldn't you? If he's on the team sheet, you're absolutely fine with that. And I think he's played so well since he's come into the team that I think there is, you know, a genuine conversation about Trent to be had at some point. I'm sure that will be for the new manager rather than for Jurgen Klopp. But yeah, it's exciting for both of those players. I think they're going to play a huge part inevitably in Liverpool's future.
The next comment coming in from Ian on YouTube is McAllister was in top form, and here's who I wanted to come to next. For me, he was man of the match. He was brilliant today. He just oozes so much class. He wins everything, and the passing is sublime. Like the way he spots that gap for Salah's winner, threads it through. It's 10 goal contributions now in 10 starts for him for club and country. 5 goals, 5 assists. He's really been unleashed since being allowed to play as this number 8. And there was a really classy moment at the end when he goes and salutes the Brighton fans. I think it was only in October when he was at fault for the opening goal for Brighton that day. And there were question marks about, is he a number 6 for Liverpool? Now, you're not two-faced if he plays at number 6, but seeing him as a number 8, wow, what a player. He's a World Cup winner for a reason.
Yeah, he was sensational, wasn't he? I think wherever you play him in that midfield, he offers that balance and the control. He's clearly very creative, as you mentioned, the goals and the assists are starting to come now from him, which I think is important if you're going to play in that attacking midfield position. It's the same for Szoboszlai. I think both of those positions, Curtis Jones has stepped up a little bit this season as well. I think there's more to come from each of them in that regard, but it's just that control, isn't it? The quality that he's got in the middle of the pitch, everything's calm around him. He isn't the biggest, he's not the most physical, but he knows where to put his body just to put it in the right place and nick the ball back or set up a counter-attack. He's just really, really clever. I think when he gets fouled, I can't remember who it is that clatters into him and gets the booking, but I think that's a good example of where he's a split second ahead of everybody else. He's got his body in the right position. He's the one that gets to that ball first and wins his side a free kick. And, you know, if he hadn't, I think he probably could have set up an attack with that. So I just love watching him play. He's one of those players that is just so silky and plays the ball in such a way, but he's not just that. It doesn't just look good. It's really, really effective around that as well. I think, you know, the numbers would show that in terms of, you know, he doesn't really give the ball away. He gets booked today, but I think it's the first time in a good number of matches that he's got booked. I think we're kind of over the early season concerns about how frequently he was picking up yellow cards. I think he's just such an intelligent footballer, and I think he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet for Liverpool at the moment. You think of, you know, the options that they've got in that midfield. I'm sure if Ryan Gravenberch was watching on for the majority of this match before he came on, he's probably wondering where his next minutes come from, because McAllister, superb. I thought Endo was pretty good again at number 6. Szoboszlai, I think that was probably his best game for a while. And Harvey Elliott as well has been superb. So Liverpool have got so many options in that midfield that it can only be a good thing. And if you're someone like Alexis McAllister, where you can play as a 6 and as an 8, again, that can only be, you know, a good thing for him moving forward. So I think he does prefer playing further forward. You can see why. But I'd be just as comfortable really with him in either of those positions. He's just so good. He can basically play anywhere, can't he?
Now, McAllister, he's a player that he reminds me a bit of Alonso in terms of he's not the quickest. He's so intelligent, and you're just watching a world-class footballer grab that stage and show everyone how good he is. But mentioning Alonso, we can't really not look at the managerial situation. We all know what's happened this week with Xavi Alonso deciding to stay put at Leverkusen. I think they've gone 13 points up in the Bundesliga this weekend, isn't it? But we can't really be bothered about that too much. It's now, well, who is the next candidate to replace Jurgen Klopp? We think Ruben Amorim, Sporting Lisbon manager, he's the favourite. But man, in the opposing dugout today, Roberto De Zerbi, he's a leading candidate as well. I think last year, if you were saying that, he'd be the one everyone would want. You'd all be excited about him. But because we're more familiar with him now, he's not quite as glamorous, is he? But Brighton, they played really well today. They've been a bit hit and miss this season. They've struggled with injuries. And that was always going to happen with Europa League football to contend with. But what could we learn from De Zerbi's side today? How they set up? Were you impressed with how he got his side here and how they were so close to coming away from Anfield with a draw when it was a Liverpool side so much better than the ones he's faced in the past?
Yeah, and they've got a good few injuries as well. They've got a couple of key players. I think Solly March was excellent at Anfield last season. He's been out injured. Kerem Mitoma, obviously one of their best players last season, has spent a fair bit of time on the treatment table this time around. So to be able to come and play like that, I thought they have a distinct style, don't they? They try and tempt you in with the little passes around the goalkeeper and inside their own box. And they're just such a well-drilled side. And I think we all admired them when it was Graham Potter and when they were, you know, first coming up to the Premier League. But I do think Roberto De Zerbi deserves a lot of credit, really, for taking them up another level again. They've got, you know, a good group of players there, but he's getting more out of them than what he should be. He's, you know, overperforming, I think, in terms of the league relative to, you know, being in Europe as well. The injuries they've got, they don't have a squad of the level that you would think you would need to go and compete on all fronts. So I've been surprised, to be honest, that he hasn't been spoken about a little bit more in terms of the Liverpool job. I'm sure, you know, there will be, you know, other big teams who are taking a look at him as well. I think Sky Germany have reported that, you know, he might be an alternative to Alonso for Bayern Munich as well. I think there will be a lot of teams taking a look at him. And as I say, I'm surprised that, you know, more people have not been able to talk about him as being one of the favourites. I think he probably isn't the number one. I think Ruben Amorim would make a lot of sense for Liverpool for a number of different reasons. But I do think De Zerbi is definitely worthy in terms of the conversation, whether it's Liverpool, whether it's somewhere else. I think it's probably inevitable that sooner rather than later he will move away from Brighton, because, you know, imagine what he could do with a higher level of squad. Imagine the sort of, you know, exuberance that he has on the touchline. You saw he was almost on the pitch for most of the game. He was so excited and jumping up and down. I think there is definitely, you know, a real top manager in the making there. And we know that Brighton have done that plenty of times before. They spot things that other people don't. But they weren't the only club to go in for him. But I think you can see that the work that he's done, he deserves a lot more praise. And I can only assume it is that familiarity. If he was doing what he was doing with Brighton, but he was doing it in, I don't know, Italy with Roma, for example, I think people would talk about him and look at him in a completely different way. So, look, he's not my number one choice, but I think he's probably in the top two or three, certainly, in terms of what Liverpool do in the summer.
Now, I think that's everything for Liverpool, but looking at the clock, it is 25-5. I believe it's still 0-0 at the Etihad. Of course, it's only 5 minutes in, but we'll finish having a little bit of talk on that game and the title race. I'm sure if you're listening back to this later, the final score's probably come in by now, and it's one where every single result in that game you can turn into a positive for Liverpool. If City drop points and they lose to Arsenal, you've got a four-point lead over them, but then you're still relying on, do Arsenal choke at this stage? If it's a draw, Liverpool are top, they're clear of both of them. And then if City win, then maybe you're writing off Arsenal. What are you hoping to come out of this game at the Etihad? It's 0-0 now. Are you hoping it stays that way in an hour, half, 2 hours' time? Or could it be more in Liverpool's interest if one of them does get 3 points to turn this three-race horse into a two-race horse? Two-horse race, sorry.
I completely see what you say in terms of all of the results. I think you can talk yourself into that being a positive, and whatever happens, Liverpool are going to be right up there in terms of the title at the end of the season. But I think a draw probably is the favoured result. I can see the argument for maybe taking Arsenal out of the race, or City maybe being more likely to drop points in the next few games. So maybe, you know, ultimately, I think if both of them were to drop points, that gives Liverpool a bit of a buffer and a bit of a gap. And you look at the games that they've got coming up, obviously, you know, Old Trafford next weekend, but before that, Sheffield United, you'd like to think that they could beat them.
Get some of the goal difference back as well.
Yeah, it all starts to play into it, doesn't it? I think at this point in the season, for Liverpool, obviously no one is used to it being three teams going all the way to the end. I suspect it probably will be. Whatever the result today, it's going to be decisive to a certain extent, but I don't think if Arsenal were to lose, for example, that's it for them. I know there has been a little bit of chatter about that this week, but I think a draw is the best result for Liverpool. But ultimately, all three, I would be surprised if with two games left, all three weren't still in contention to win the league. Obviously, there will be a bit of a gap in terms of, you know, someone would have to drop points in a surprise fixture. But I just think for Liverpool, a draw would be best. But anything ultimately is fine, because Liverpool are already at the top of the league. They've already got their job done.
Perfect. I think that will do us today. Both of us will go downstairs into the warmth to watch that game with one eye and do the rest of our work with the other and the hands and stuff. Stay tuned to the Echo website for all your usual bits. Doyley's player ratings are now live. I think Gorski's verdict will be going up a little bit later. with regards to the City Arsenal game as well. So we know exactly where the title race lies this Easter Sunday. Then join us again tomorrow, Easter Monday. It might be a bank holiday, but we'll be hard at it again, where we will know what's happened in that game at the Etihad. We will know where Liverpool stand in the title. I think it's going to be me, Doyley and Joe Rimmer looking over that one. Thanks for tuning in if you're watching this live on Facebook and YouTube. Thanks again to our sponsors, NordVPN, for their brilliant support. And if you're listening back to this, hopefully you can hear us over the lawnmowers. Hopefully it's been okay. And we'll stop talking now so you can watch the City Arsenal game for yourself. Fingers crossed it's one that goes Liverpool's favour, whichever way you want that to go. Enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.